For such a long time, we have, as a human race, congratulated ourselves on being in control, of being the masters of our own destiny. What a guy with a laptop, Graham, sorry. Being masters of our own destiny, being in control. And surely that's what science and technology has been leading to. And so we look at some of the billionaires around the world who are now off on their private space explorations. It's just amazing. And we're given that impression that we're in control. We can do whatever we want. We are masters of our destiny. All of this technology is at our service. There's nothing we cannot do. And yet this last 18 months surely has taught us a different lesson. Where we thought we were in control, the pandemic has reminded us very emphatically that we are not in control. In spite of the technology, and the technology and the advances in science and medicine in the past couple of years have been brilliant, please do not misunderstand me. In spite of that, in spite of the billions, trillions, and I don't understand those figures, in spite of the huge amounts of money that are thrown at these issues, we know that we're not in control. And it's been a hard lesson for us to learn. And if we ever lived under that illusion, well, these past months surely must have shaken us. And we've been reminded of our dependence upon God. Because everything else has been shaken. Everything else that we have tried to build our lives upon, everything else upon which we thought we depended, everything else upon which we thought our freedom rested, all those things have been shaken, taken away from us. And we're brought back to this trusting in God. And yet it's something that we've known. Certainly within the church, we've been taught from our earliest days about trusting God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We've been taught to trust. And yet our trust has wandered off and been placed in other things, in other places. We've heard wonderful testimonies of other people who have proved God's trustworthiness. We know the stories of people who have demonstrated in their own lives that God can be trusted, that God is trustworthy and dependable. And we've experienced ourselves that trustworthiness. And yet we've had to relearn it. And yet we've had to remind ourselves about all these truths. And that's where this Psalm 62 comes in. The phrase that jumped out of this psalm for me is simply all the way through the psalm, is this God alone. It's as though we have written this psalm looking back over these 18 months, trying to work out what it is that has got us through this to this stage. God alone. All through his life, David, the psalmist, has found God to be in control. Whether David is a shepherd boy out tending his father's flocks, whether he's a king, whether he's on the run, he knows that God is in control. He knows that God is dependable. And that's where he turns. My soul finds rest where? In God alone. Because my salvation comes from him. There are a lot of other things in David's life, but he says with great certainty, God alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. God alone. Many years after the psalmist Augustine, one of the early church fathers, wrote this: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Echoing what David had said earlier in the psalm, echoing those words, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Well, Augustine finds that rest, but he also thinks, well, actually, duh, of course, you've made us for yourself. Where else are we going to find that rest? Is it any wonder that we're restless when we don't turn to God to find that rest? God alone. David and Augustine could have looked to lots of other places, lots of other things for their rest, for their salvation. They both had their own abilities. They both had their reputation around them. They both were surrounded by a network of the right people. They could have turned anywhere else. But they find their rest in God alone. And the psalmist uses these wonderful images of a rock. If you find the image hard to work out, take a wander down. If the rain clears, take a wander down and stand on some of the big rocks along our shores. Just feel that firmness. Realize that even though the waves batter against that rock stands firm. That's the image that David has. David, the warrior king, who would have known the importance of having a strong fortress. David says, you are not only my rock, you're my fortress. You're the one in whom I find safety and security. They're great images. And because of God being this rock in David's life, because of God being this fortress in his life, David simply says, I shall not be shaken. Recognizing that things are not always going to be easy, good, smooth, but because God is these things, he will not be shaken. We're not terribly sure of the background to this Psalm 62. What was going on in David's life? We're not terribly sure, but he is simply under threat for some reason. People are ganging up on him. And in the midst of that, David expresses this simple, childlike trust in God. Yep, things are not easy at the moment. Things are not clear. The future is not as rosy as we perhaps would want it to be, but David expresses this simple, childlike faith in God. We all long to come through these days. We all long to leave the things of the pandemic to the history books. But let's not forget the lessons we've learned. Let's not forget our dependence upon God, who alone is our rock and our salvation. For David and for us, in a situation that seems to be hopeless, God alone gives hope. The world around us does offer endless options where we can focus our attention. Good things, right things, important things. But nothing and no one is as important as focusing upon our God. Let's not forget that as we move out of this pandemic. David knows his own weakness. And he uses these two pictures. This is how he feels. He feels a bit like a collapsing wall, a leaning wall, or a rickety fence, a fence that's just going to blow over this leaning wall or a tottering fence. That's how David feels. And it's a pretty good description of how we all feel at times. When things around us just seem so difficult that we think, you know, one more straw on this camel's back and I'm going to fall. I'm going to collapse. I'm finished. That's how David feels. Great that the psalmist recognizes the weakness and the, the limitations that we all experience. It wouldn't take much to push him over the edge. But God alone is his rock, this fortress. Certainly, you could try to prop up that wall. During the time that Heather and I lived in Kenya, we woke up one morning and the bedroom ceiling had dropped about 3 or 4 feet down, which was a little bit concerning. When we got outside, we discovered that there was actually a huge crack down the side of our house, and part of the house was moving down the hill, and the other part was standing still. We learned there the importance of foundations, because there weren't any apparently underneath our house. Hence, when it rained heavily, half the house decided to part company with the rest. The builders came along and they built huge buttresses against the end of the house. They would have done some of our cathedrals justice, these massive things built against the end of the house to try and hold it up. And it worked okay for a while. But actually, the only thing you could do is to make sure the foundations under it were proper, were strong, were solid. You can try to shore up these leaning walls to prop up that tottering fence. But at the end of the day, God alone is our rock, our fortress. Only in him are we not shaken. So David, that's David's experience, and he encourages others to experience that too. David says, Lord, I have known you to be my rock, I've known you to be my refuge, my fortress. I know that because of you I'm not shaken, and I want other people to experience that. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. It's good to hear stories of other folks, how other folks have been encouraged in God and by God. It's good to hear those stories. But it's better to know that and to experience it ourselves. And so the psalmist simply says, trust in him. Pour out your hearts to him, for he is our refuge. Why do we trust this God? Well, at the end of that little psalm, there's this repeated and therefore sure word of God that David has experienced. God has spoken all through the years, down through the generations, in his word, through his people, by his spirit. And David has experienced these things. God is strong, God is loving, and God is just. And those are the things that David has experienced. Strong, loving, and just is our God. This rock that is unmovable, this fortress in whom we have safety and security, is strong, loving, and just. Where else would you go? Where else would you go? There's an account in the Gospels of a time when people were just walking away from Jesus. Commitment to Jesus was too much. Maybe Jesus wasn't giving to them what they thought they wanted, the political freedom, the military freedom that they wanted, and so they gradually just drifted away. And Jesus knew this was happening and turned to his own disciples, his own 12 disciples, and simply asks, are you going to leave as well? Are you going to slip away as well? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's again an echo of the psalmist. You alone have the words of eternal life. You alone are my refuge. You alone are my rock. You alone are my salvation. You alone, God. Where else am I going to go? It's the psalmist's experience. The disciples' experience. Living on this side of the cross. We have seen the glory of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. Living on this side of the cross, we have seen the glory of the birth of Jesus, his death for our sin, his wonderful resurrection and ascension. We know that we have received grace upon grace because of Jesus, and we are spiritually alive because his Spirit has given us life. Lord, to whom shall we go? We give thanks for science, this progress, for all of the medical innovations that have come to the fore in these past months. But ultimately, that's not where we go. To God alone, our rock, our salvation.